Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's Monday, November 10th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
Doing good, sir. How about yourself?
Hanging in, hanging in. Had an exciting weekend,
Yeah.
unlocking Claude Code for myself, finally. Building websites and doing stuff that I've never done before.
Yeah. Tell us all about it.
Sorry it took me so long, everybody. I'm here to serve now. It's interesting. Still a learning curve and still, like, again, I think, even though it makes it feel so easy, there's still moments where, I can't trust what's visually represented to me on the screen. Like if Claude Code is like, says it's still working and it's very clearly not. And it's just like, I'll click into another chat and then click back into this one and you get the whole breakdown of what has happened. And it's like, I can see how new people new to this space in general. So there's still like a divide between like software and SaaS like thinkers, I think, in the ability to democratize digital value in this way, because there's just so many layers that you have to learn and just all the nuances of it all. But yeah, getting some really cool stuff done. And then, sign into StreamYard this morning to see, like, this is also the interesting part about being a consumer, right? I'm just going to share my screen here. Like, at least with StreamYard, and this is probably, I mean, one would think this is the case for most software applications right now, just the cadence of updates. I mean, and like impactful updates too. Like they're mixing in stuff like the fun stuff we talked about for Halloween, and which I think has a different kind of impact. But this kind of thing where it's like where
Well, and
literally
to me, it's
multiple
like,
aspect ratio streaming, like this is not a small endeavor.
no,
Right.
it's not. And like, they are. That's a sign, right? Like, to your point about the abundance, about the ability to be able to democratize options and democratize features. So like, that's to me, like, I was thinking about that the other day, is that if you're in the same app development space, if you're in the same SaaS space, the ability to bolt on features is not going to like save you from, it's not going to create a moat. It will never create a deep enough moat to keep somebody from being able to do something. It's very much like a Batman situation where like, doesn't matter what you do on the outside, it's what's on the inside that matters, right? It's the value. it's the value that the feature delivers, right? So it's like, it's the same as right now. Practically every application that you're using has a wizard to it, an AI wizard, right? That is supposed to help you not only be able to figure out what it is that you need within the software, but in a lot of cases, it's supposed to help you actually perform the functions that you would otherwise have to do. And in the cases of performing the functions, it really is like, it's still holding true in terms of if you ain't first, you're last. Zapier was right out the gate with this. Like, right out the gate, they were like, yep, we need to make an AI agent that actually makes apps for people. They didn't even screw around with the idea of like, oh, well, we'll make a help bot first and then we'll transition that into a thing. No, they just stabbed at it. Even it was terrible. It was god awful, but it would kind of cobble some stuff together in a way that would get you a little bit closer. now that thing is friggin' flawless. Like, in my opinion, if you have watched the evolution, that thing is amazing. It, to me, it is like the gold standard of, hey, if you want to have an AI within your application that builds out your application and understands how to do that, you should be looking at how well the Zapier agent works, because it's seriously that good. My point is, a lot of other SaaS applications have these agents, and 70% of them suck. 75% of them suck. And it's mind blowing, because it's like, really? It's your software. Like, how is your agent bad at your software platform? And it's like, oh, because you designed your software platform for humans to use and for humans to understand the code and for humans to understand how to expand the code. You didn't design your platform with the understanding that, like, oh, one day something else is going to work on this that is going to work at a much different pace, in a much different way, in a much different collaborative way, that is going to be vastly different from how we do things, and still much more efficient, and still deliver the same value, if not greater, right? So, you know, modular thinking, 1,000% for one thing.
And the amount of translation, again, it's another highlight of how far apart, like, software language is from just natural language and usage, because if, and this is a place where if humans have had trouble for years, it's not something like, the more it's language related, like, the more ambiguous, especially the English language is, like, AI is just not going to come unless you allow AI to completely change the language that's used everywhere, which it will get to eventually. It can't just, like, solve it. It's got to spend all of its time, and that's what's doing. That's what MCP is. That's what, like, how do we bridge this? These two, like, very far apart realms, right? And I think that's what we're seeing now. But it also, like, the difference between bolt-on and AI native thinking is massive, right? Yeah. Because if you're just bolting on, and this is where all the legacy, you know, providers, they've got to figure this stuff out, because bolt on doesn't solve the problem of AI not being able to read your shit.
Right.
Right. It might, like, yeah, no, it just doesn't solve it. So you might come out with new features faster for the humans, but if it relates to anything like making things easier to use or enabling the humans that might not need that, you know, next year because AI agents are doing work, like, it's an interesting, I can't imagine the decision matrix that's inside of companies right now to determine, like, what's a sunk cost or what's a, you know, a tech debt, like, risk based. Because meanwhile, they've got a whole set of human customers asking for things constantly, right? So it's interesting to watch HubSpot play that game of, like, serving human customer feedback while also suggesting AI first, you know, product. It's an interesting dynamic for sure.
You know, it's the timing on it really couldn't be too much better, because, like, we've been talking about where we were talking about yesterday in terms of media, how it's difficult to really figure out who's telling the right story and who's actually being honest about, like, whatever narratives are going forward, whether it's through, you know, just simple editing, whether it's through AI. And lately what I'm finding, and I think we're both seeing the same thing, is, like, these stat wars and, like, whose stats are better than whose benchmarks are better than whose. And I tend to not look at, like, what sound like the ridiculous outliers. In other words, when people were talking about like how this might be like some other infrastructure era where too much infrastructure too quickly and not enough follow through on it, right? Again, like Jensen was saying, as soon as you turn on a data center, it's used. There's no like wait for another company to come around that's going to need that data center. Like they're not building them in anticipation of. They were building them with the understanding that like, yeah, we'll actually be using this and then we're going to need more anyway. Right. So the consensus up to now has been like, well, businesses don't even know how to utilize this stuff. And they don't even have it rolled out and they have no idea how to roll it out and no plans, nothing in mind. And so along comes Wharton School of Business. And so they're saying 3 out of 4 business leaders who evaluated their generative AI investments are reporting positive returns.
Imagine that.
72% actually have structured a process around tracking the additional ROI for the productivity and profitability. I mean, I don't even understand. Like, how is that possible? How? Like, I thought nobody could possibly figure it out, right? Yeah, everybody's
been 95% was failing.
Nobody's got it in place. Like, no, it's not even working. And so I bring it up because of the fact that, like, again, it's, and I'll post the link to this. What's amazing is a couple things that I've been talking about with my brother too. When it comes to like how, I'm sure you have an easier way of posting that, about what's going on with the economy and what's like, why things seem to be doing like so much better, than they should, let's say, seems to just like kind of be out of nowhere.
I'm going to share your screen.
Yeah. Seems like almost out of nowhere that the economy has been able to bolster itself up. And I've been saying for like the last year or two, at least to him, that like, hey man, I don't think you understand that, you know, that the market is pretty much being propped up right now by this like completely unexpected industry via infrastructure that is just going to like keep going. And it's just going to keep bolstering other businesses that follow suit. So there's going to be this push forward, basically, that isn't going to be something that anybody can get in front of and put a stop to. That, yeah, unfortunately, the financials just, the math don't math when you try to say that things are going bad, right? In terms of like this sector and what it's doing. Like, we estimate 40% of current GDP could be substantially affected by generative AI. Occupations around the 80th percentile of earnings are the most exposed, with around half of their work susceptible to automation by AI on average. The highest earning occupations are less exposed, and the lowest earning occupations are the least exposed. Middle of the sandwich is what's, it's always the plain part, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, like, Perplexity keeps reminding me. Perplexity is like the only thing keeping me informed about what stupid people are doing on the outside. And like yesterday's notification was how somebody's mentioning like a negative GDP. is possible because of the government shutdown. And it's like, I just hope we can outrace the stupid, right? Like,
yeah.
If anything can, it's AI. But it's, I'm curious, is this the kind of stuff that like you mentioned this morning, you moved up some timelines. Is this related or unrelated to that?
It is. It's somewhat related. So yeah, I moved up some timelines because I came across a few things in robotics, and it's basically like I don't know. I don't want to say it's a chess match, but it is definitely getting closer to being a neck and neck race between robotics and just digital intelligence altogether, right? When I last looked at it, the best thing, and like I don't understand. Well, I mean, I do understand on some scales, like how they are able to make these leaps. The speed is just much faster than I thought, and so I'm having to move tables up because, especially when it comes to robotics, you would think that it would take a while before you could get the body to be anywhere near as good as the brain, right? You would think that it would take, you know, at least 6 months to a year, maybe, to be able to catch up to the quality, I suppose, of like what you're seeing in terms of an output. What we saw with Figure not too long ago was essentially like, it was pretty good. It was like Figure doing like full in-home stuff, right? It was doing like dishes and putting dishes away, and then it was doing like laundry and folding laundry and stuff, and it was really good at it. But in all honesty, it was a little slow, right? So this is the G2 robot. I forget who the exact maker on this is.
I already love that note. Yeah. No speed up on this video.
No speed up whatsoever on this video. Fingers crossed it'll actually play in real time. Yay. Okay, so no speed up on this. You can see that, like, what's happening is the robot is following what the guy's physical movements are, okay? But what's also happening at the same time is whatever physical motions they're making are also getting recorded, right? In a way that basically makes it that, like, oh, okay, well, now we can just replay this thousands and thousands of times until the motion becomes, like, either more fluid, more accurate, whatever it might be. So now we're watching this first Figure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. So like, yeah, immediately, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I moved up the timetable. I'm like, well, fuck it. Like, I thought it was going to take us like another 3 years, like not 3 years. I thought it would take us like another 3 months. That kind of equates to 3 years in my mind, before we would get to this level of speed. You've seen the one where it puts the stuff away in the fridge. Dude, it took Figure a minute to do that action.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I can't say for sure, but I mean, like, I'm willing to bet that there's not somebody standing off the side in a rig, you know, mimicking these actions, right?
Right.
Again,
well, yeah.
What you're seeing is basically the outcome of all of this practiced physical motion.
Right.
Right.
And this is where, like, humans cannot fathom the timetable because there's so much convergence. Like, between all of these different aspects of this new infrastructure, like the physical data, physical world data being captured, Waymo's everywhere, like 800 million GPT users, just GPT, like, and there's a bunch of other, like, Google's data, like, Google's, man, it's just like the ability to, you know, the convergence is literally like, how fast can it learn how to apply all the data that we already have while also bringing in new data for new interactions between AI and humans, robots and humans, robots and robots, AI and AI. Like, literally, like, and there's just a conversion factor there that we it's we just can't comprehend it. And that's why, like, it should go faster than everybody expects. And that's, at the end of the day, that's why you, like, let go of trying to figure out when.
Yeah.
And just kind of accept the now and, like, be ready. Like, build the most agile stance you can possibly build, because you need to be ready. Like, that is the moat. How fast can you leverage the innovation that you cannot control and cannot forecast yourself? Right?
Yeah.
Because this is where the bubble part is like a joke. Like, real economical value is being created. This is not assumption on what right. could be coming from this technology. It's already here. And we don't even have that many robots in homes. Like, and the fact that it makes sense to talk about it in a way that it's the next thing to be in the American dream of owning a house, owning a car, and then owning a $20,000 robot. They've got the price point already where it needs to be, right?
Right.
And that's where, like, this element of, like, the amount of time and effort it took to build a reliable, safe automobile at that price point, when, like, the value that comes back, like, as far as usage and how people use it, and then how you learn from that and how you leverage that. That's why, like, it takes forever to get to actual innovation in those spaces.
Yeah.
Versus that price point of 20,000 is also an investment in R&D, because it gets you to data capture faster. And it's just like, it's just this, I love the way on Moonshots they're talking about it as like the innermost loop.
Right? Yeah.
That you just, like, once we get to that, that's going to create the, you know, this abundance in a way that everybody can access it. It's just, it's a fun time. Like, if you can allow yourself to think, in these kind of new ways,
right?
Like, it's just, how can you not be excited about what's going on right now instead of looking for ways to believe it's not true?
I don't know. Like, you got a really good, like, glimpse into, you know, what all this looks like, now that you've been, you know, truly vibe code activated per se. And that's one of the ways in which you start to see, like, oh, okay, I can understand that, you know, from even us working together yesterday, we were talking about the fact that, like, a year ago for us to have done the same workshop would have been the entire day yesterday, right? To get to, like, pretty much the same point. Whereas it really only took us, like, an hour and a half, like, just poking around. And then all of a sudden it was just, hey, have fun. And I can only imagine that, like, two months from now, maybe less, because of Gemini 3, like, as soon as Gemini 3 drops, that process will probably be down to, like, a half hour tops. I think it kind of just depends on who's going to do the next stage of all in one, right? Because we both kind of saw that essentially, at this point, if you want to develop software, essentially you get Claude Code, get a GitHub account, connect those two, get something like Vercel or Railway, connect your GitHub to those two, and go nuts. Right? And then Claude has your environmental variables, so you can deal with all that stuff there. That'll all get push your Git repo, and then you can put your keys and stuff in on Vercel and Railway, and, like, you're off and running, right? Like, that's your pipeline now.
Whereas before it was like, yeah, okay, I'll get this thing done in Claude, then I'll bring it over to one of the coding apps and I'll start coding it there, and then I'll bring it over to Claude Code and start working with it there. Then I'll pull it down and dev it locally so I can save more money, because that whole process of even getting here cost me like $50, which sounds really terrible, but when you're not a developer, spending $50 to screw around does sounds expensive.
And I'll be ready tomorrow to show off what's come to pass over the past 24 hours. Less than that, honestly.
Yep.
It'll
be amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting times. And again, sorry it took me so long, folks, but I am here and ready to serve, because so much of this, like, again, and it's not going to be from a place of, all right, I'm going to make so much money off of this app. It's like, no, like, you need to get your head right. Like, everybody can make money off of this stuff, off of this value that's being created. It just takes a mindset shift into abundance from scarcity, and that's what Value First is all about. So until tomorrow morning, thanks so much, Nico. Everybody have a great Monday.
There you go.